everybody, welcome back to Medicare Agent IQ. We are a podcast that is here to help insurance agents to be successful selling Medicare. So I'm Raul Gonzalez.
And I'm Oscar Ibieta.
And so today, it's going to be a shorter podcast today, but I really wanted to talk a little bit about ethical selling in the Medicare markets. A super important part of our business, probably the most important part, right? Like, is being ethical. I think that one of the biggest issues that our business has, and the reason when you look at the amount of regulations that are put on us, it's because of those unethical bad apples that kind of ruin it for the bunch, wouldn't you say?
Oh yeah, 100%. I remember when I first came into the business and you were training me, I'm wondering like, why are there so many rules in place?
It's dumb.
Understandably, a lot of these rules are in place to protect the senior population, but some of them just don't make any sense. And I used to ask you all the time, like, why do these rules exist? And that's when you had to I almost felt like when you had to sit down your child and be like, look, and explain something.
That's how it felt. No. So when I was, when I first started in the business, the stories were told to me of, individuals who would show up dressed up like a nurse to a senior's house and be like, look, we don't think that this is the right insurance for you anymore. And they would act as if they were a provider. And so they would do this. And so this is why we have these rules that are like, you have to make it clear that you are compensated. Cause that's what why do you have to tell everyone you're compensated based on my enrollment in a plan? Cause that person showed up in a nursing outfit. that's why we have to make it very clear. So all of these rules that we have, are coming from that. It's weird though, because sometimes, here we go on a soapbox, but
it's okay. It's what we're here for,
right? But sometimes I feel like it's kind of frustrating because, the proposed rule for the last 3 years, the mandatory recording of phone calls, and just all the different changes that we're experiencing, none of them have really addressed the problem, which is people calling from India to these seniors' homes. Like that's been the biggest problem that we have in our industry is, and it's not just India. I think there's other places as well that are cold calling seniors and getting them on a plan. So that's why we've seen a 1,000% increase in complaints over the last several years. But the biggest issue is because all these people are cold calling, and I don't know how come that hasn't been addressed. So again, a little bit of a soapbox, but the reality is that the reason that we have all of these rules is because of the unethical people out there. So how do we kind of combat that? We've got to kind of show that we are in a level higher than even what Medicare is requiring. Best way to do that kind of just is understanding your client's needs. I think it's a big part. And so the biggest part of ethical selling would be to do a full needs analysis where you're finding out what the most important thing is to your client. So that way they can, you can help guide them into the right plan. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, you don't want to go into an appointment, into a meeting with somebody and just say, if there's a certain plan that is a strong player in the market, you just go in and lead with that and say, look, this is the plan that you need, or this is the plan that you need to be on, because, that's what everybody else is getting. We, as a matter of fact, shouldn't even be saying that, right? But you got to go in and you've got to, I always tell agents, even if you have an idea of what the sale is going to be, do not walk in there with that, with those books in hand.
Just ready to have.
Yeah, keep them in a bag and then go through and do that needs analysis with the individual and then pull it out of your bag, whatever it is that you're going to be presenting to them. But yeah, it's very important. It's the most important part of the process, because if you put them on something that doesn't address their needs, you may get that sale in that particular day, but how long are they going to stay on the books? Yeah. And why are we in this business, Raul?
Is those renewals, right? That residual income. And so when we do that, we've got to understand what is most important to them. A lot of times it's keeping their doctors. And so we start moving in a direction, start telling them about this great plan that has all these great benefits. And then as we get time to enroll, we find out that their doctors aren't in network. Yeah. And now you're trying to explain to them, well, this, the benefit of this plan is so much better than your doctor. What I would say is, and look, there's some truth to that at times, right? Like there's like when you're looking at a senior and they're very, very low income and they, you know, they're struggling financially, they have all of these different things. Of course, there's probably a plan that financially would make the most sense for them, but we have to find out if that is the single most important determining factor for them. Sometimes we have seniors that are dealing with, they're currently seeing an oncologist and they've been dealing with, or they have cancer that's in remission. It's very important to them to keep their doctor. A lot of times you can probably get that sale if but man, you're right. Like 3 months later when their child finds out about it, grown child,
yeah.
Finds out about it, they're going to be like, what are you doing? Like, why did you change them over? And, you know, like they needed to see this doctor. They might be willing to change it for, you know, change their doctor for that month. But ultimately, they're going to end up being like, no, that just doesn't make any sense.
Making a change,
right?
Yeah. And then you now potentially have left a bad taste in their mouth. Because it's like you came and you enrolled them into something that was maybe not the best fit for them at the time. How likely are they to recommend you to somebody else, right? They may not even call you back to say, hey, let's switch it back, or I just want to go back to the plan that I was previously on. They just may call somebody else or call another number. And so there's just a lot of things.
Worse, you get a call or you get an email from the carrier saying,
oh, yeah,
you switched this person and you told them. Because it always, like if you fail to look up their providers, you told them their provider was in the network.
Right.
If you forget to do it, trust me, the complaint's gonna say
that you didn't tell them, or you
told them that it was, even though you didn't. And really what they're saying is that you never checked. And you know, that's the reality of it.
There's so many different moving pieces that come together when we talk about this. And it got me thinking, okay, well, yes, let's be ethical, right? Like that's just something that we should always be doing. But we also talk about building a sticky book, right? That's the message that we tell our agents is you want to build a sticky book. You want not only do you want to get new clients, but you want to keep those clients on the book. You want them to stay on the books. So if you act ethically and you do what's right for for your client, then the likelihood of them staying with you is much, much higher. And if at any point they decide that they want to make changes, they're going to reach out to you, right? You've had a conversation with them and told and expressed to them, hey, look, if you ever need to look at any other options or we just need to revisit the plan, call me, make me your first phone call. But the other piece of that is that's also going to lead to referrals. And I know that's not the topic of today's podcast, but I just wanted to take a second to just highlight that and say, look, if we do everything that we're covering here, that we're going to be covering in today's podcast, I guarantee you that is a formula for success, and it's going to lead to you growing your book significantly a lot faster.
Yeah, a lot of things we do, there's multiple benefits of it. Another one is not running into the short-term disenrollments, right? When you get someone on the right plan at the, you know, you ask all of the very important questions, it's very rare that you're going to have a short-term disenrollment or even like a, you know, within the first year, them switching plans, you're going to have that full conversation with them. They're gonna hang around. Mm-hmm. So let's go ahead and talk a little bit about transparency and honesty. I think that a lot of agents, sometimes with good intentions, sometimes with intentions for themselves, will not mention certain things. I'm gonna call out a carrier, and I'm not gonna say who it was, but even recently, carrier changed one of their benefits. And instead of bringing attention to it in the meeting, they opted to not bring it up whatsoever. And so would I say that they were being unethical? Maybe. Or you could say that it was careless, or they're like, well, I didn't have to bring it up. Why we just brought up the highlights, not the right. Lowlights, right? So, you know, they're trying to get everyone, but it was found out during AEP, like like in November, like late November. And it's like, man, don't put me in that situation. In the same way for seniors, like there might be things like if you're talking to a senior and they're like, yeah, the most important thing, you know, I went into the hospital last time and they're on a plan with, you know, a very low hospital copay. And you're moving them over to, and they're like, yeah, I went to the hospital 3 times last year. And then you make a decision to not bring up the fact that you're going to move them on this plan. You're going to save them all this money, get them dental benefits. You're going to get them all these things. But you fail to mention the reality that if they go into the hospital, that it's going to be twice as much as is on their previous plan. That was an ethics issue.
Oh, yeah. And I think about, you know, some of the people that I've run into, some clients that I've run into over the years, particularly what I'll talk about is like a med sup. Somebody's who's on a Medicare supplement here in Texas, right? We're age attained for the most part, an age attained state. So you see the rates increase year over year. And a lot of the phone calls that I'd get from people were, well, I signed up for this Medicare supplement, but it keeps going up every single year. And nobody told me that the price was going to go up. And that's like, you have to do that, right? If you're working a market where it's an age attained state or premium, you know, the policy, make sure that you're having that conversation. Don't forget, just like you said, right? Yeah. Don't forget to mention that. It's very important in their decision-making process that you bring this to the table and explain to them how things are going to work with the policy.
In that transparency and honesty, what I do when I'm having a conversation with someone who is choosing to go on a Medicare supplement is I would kind of bring up that worst case scenario situation that I've had where somebody who was on only for 8 years started off at about $96 a month and then ended up calling me 8 years later and saying, I need to change because now it was about $300 a month. So I always bring that up to them and just say, hey, look, just out of curiosity, how would you feel if something like that, would it still be manageable? And sometimes their response is, well, yeah, it would be manageable. I'm not worried about it. Or it'd be like, you know what? I'll start off this way and I'll cross that bridge when I come to it. If I can no longer afford it, then I'll deal with it at that point. This is the right decision for me now. So the other end of transparency on a Medicare Advantage is, hey, you know, like, so we live here in Texas, and if most people probably heard of MD Anderson as a hospital that treats people, and they do a great job for cancer. And so a lot of times when you're having a conversation with somebody, during my needs analysis, I'm asking them and I'm telling them, hey, you know what? If sometimes I talk to people, they say, like, if I were to get cancer, first place I would be is MD Anderson. And other people are like, no, I know that there's good oncologists in every, you know, in every city. I would probably stay here in San Antonio. So when you're having those types of conversations, that's the transparency that people need, because, you know, you can't, like, you're just giving them the pretty bows and the, you know, this is a great plan and everything like that, not talking about what the possible negatives are.
Right.
Some people, if they hear that they couldn't go to that top cancer hospital, would immediately run the other way because that's important to them. I have an aunt and like five of her sisters have dealt with cancer or died from cancer. Four of them died, one of them still alive. Cancer is a very mm-hmm. big deal to her. And so if I went through and never told her, hey, you don't know this plan, you'd never be able to go to it, or it'd be really difficult to get into this hospital. That's an important piece of information for her. So we kind of just be transparent on a lot of those things. And that is how we can, do a better job of serving and servicing our clients.
Oh yeah, 100%. I mean, and now I'm getting into a little bit of a soapbox, right? But have these mm-hmm. individuals who reach out to us and say, they end up in the hospital, or they end up, you know, having to get some kind of surgery done, or everything, their copays have just gone up so much, but they switched to a plan and somebody switched them to a plan because it was going to put money back into their social security check, right? It was a give back plan. And that give back plan, although it sounds great, it's not always the right fit. It's not the right fit for everyone, but sometimes they get caught up in hearing that. And I don't know how what the story is on the individual that enrolled them onto that plan, but I get the feeling that they told them everything that they wanted to hear and you know, kind of left out some of the things that they didn't want to hear. And one of those was like the hospital copays, how it could have doubled or tripled. All they heard was I'm getting money back into my Social Security check. So I hate to run into situations like that, but you know, that's where doing a thorough needs analysis with an individual is really going to allow you to put yourself in a position to make a recommendation to an individual and say, look, this is what I believe. You know, these are some options that we have on the table. Let's take a look at them and kind of go through them together. And I want to educate you and let's make a decision together on what we feel is the right option.
It was when I used to work at Humana, there was a year, you know, like every year it's like up and down. They were always, as long as I've, you know, been in the business, Humana has been the second in our market, for HMOs. And there was a one time period where we had a significantly higher hospital copay. I guess they didn't anticipate that their competitor was going to come out with a much better hospital benefit than they had. So it was a rough year. And every time it's not like I would lead with it. Like when I sat down, I worked in sales, right? And I didn't lead with, just so you know, your hospital would go way up. But when I get to it, very transparent about it. Like, just like, hey, look, this is, you know, I said that there's going to be things whenever you're looking at plans where these things are going to be significantly better. And this thing might be a little bit not quite as good as what you had before. And so, but I would be very honest and open about it because, you know, at the end of the day, like we've got to be able to sleep at night. And I feel like every time we make these small, we're like, okay, you know what? I'll just go ahead and I won't mention this little thing. You kind of open up a door of unethical practices, mm-hmm. where it's slightly, you're cracking the door by not mentioning it, but then you're like, well, I didn't mention it, but maybe I could, you know, do this. It's a little more unethical. And you just kind of open the door wider and wider until you become an unethical agent. That's the last thing that you want to do. You got to be able to sleep at night. It gets easier to sleep at night once you start making some of these concessions, like, you know, and so it gets easier to sleep at night doing the wrong thing. That's the last thing you want to do. Like, I'm not trying to be more comfortable with being an unethical individual. So, hey, one other thing I will mention, because I think this is where the door opens up to, is agents moving people within, let's say, United Healthcare, right? Like a lot of times you see people will move someone from the chronic plan over to the regular street level plan. And there was no benefit to the client other than I just wanted to get myself a sell. And we see this happen a lot where, or maybe it was slightly better benefit. That's fine. But when it's like, there's no benefit for the client. But most recently I saw someone move somebody off of a dual plan and put them on just kind of their regular plan, even though they still qualified for Medicaid, just so they could get them. Don't do that. But how this happens is by making these small concessions, and you start opening that unethical mm-hmm. window. To you get to that point where you're like, I'm just okay with really being a jerk. ultimately, that's what it is, right? So let's not put ourselves in that type of position. So.
And that can go a long way too, right? If you end up, you know, having an appointment with somebody and they may already be on the plan that makes the most sense for them, then sometimes it's okay to just say, hey, look, the plan that you're on, this is the right plan for you. You know, maybe come October when AEP comes around, maybe we can plan to have another conversation and see what other options we have moving into the new year. But right now, I don't think it's necessary to make any changes to your plan. And a lot of times when you're honest in that way, that's also going to lead to referrals because they know, wow, look, Raul did what was best for me. He actually told me not to change. He told me to stick with the plan that I've got. He's all right. He's a good guy. And so, you know what? I'm gonna call my friend Mary, and I'm gonna tell her that she needs to give Raul a phone call.
It happens all the time. Oh, yeah. Like I've got a very honest agent that I'll give you his number. He's not my agent, but the reason is because he told me, you know, those conversations happen. And a lot of times when I was working at Humana and I only represented one plan, what I would always say is look, plans change on an annual basis. What I would love the opportunity to do is give you a call in October, and we can have this conversation again and see if because a lot of times the plans will change in where Humana might be looking at what the competitor's doing, and so they're going to try to better what they're doing. So would it be okay if I gave you a call and we'll get a permission to contact form right then and there, so that way we know that we can have this conversation again. And so it might not be a sell today, but maybe it is a sell this coming AEP.
I have a client who. She's not my client, but because I actually told her that she should stick with the retirement plan that she had, but she has turned into an incredible referral for me, referral partner, I guess, and if you want to call it that, because she has sent me a piece of business probably at least once a month for like the last 5 or 6 months now. So I've again, just by doing what was right for her and telling her, look, stick with what you've got. She's not my client, but she trusts me. And so she is now recommending me to all of her friends and family. And so it's led to a lot more sales simply because I did what was right for her.
Yeah. Honestly, you're never going to regret doing the right thing for people. And it's just, in life, it does get a lot easier to sleep at night. And the best part is that when you have these situations where you are accused of something, it makes life a lot easier. And like, I'm not like, if somebody accuses me of something unethical, I am not a gray area guy. Right. This is right, this is wrong. I'm not playing in this gray area. And if somebody asks me to, I'm like, hey, look, we might not be a right fit to work together, because that's never something that I will do. But also, if anyone ever makes an accusation against me, I'm like, well, let's go. I'll show you the track record. I say this and I tell everyone, I'm a compliance nerd. Like, I'm just gonna whatever it is, I'm gonna if it's a gray area, I'm gonna say that it's not okay.
Right.
Like, I'm just not playing in that, because I'm not trying to. I've worked a lot of years, and keep this in mind. Like, all of this could always be at risk. Any one of us can get termed by the carrier. The carrier could come out and say, hey, look, it looks like you did things in an unethical way. We're going to go ahead and term your business. It's not worth it. None of it is. You've got to do the right thing for people. That's what we're expected of. Like, this whole thing, you're being entrusted with the ability to help seniors enroll in a plan, do what's right for them.
Yep.
So, and I would say that just kind of another thing when it comes to being ethical would be educating over selling. And that's a hard thing for some agents. Agents are like, man, I've got to put food on the table. You do it by doing the right thing.
Yeah.
And the way to do that is to give people a full explanation. We've talked a little bit about it already. Like, if you have a Medicare supplement, rates could go up, and it's not easy in most states. I understand some states allow you to change on an annual basis, but in most states, if you select a plan, that's the plan that you're going to be on when the going gets tough. Mm-hmm. And I always tell people, like, that's the hard part. When the going gets tough, this is going to be the plan that you're on. That those rates might increase, and you might just be stuck there if your health situation changes.
I think there's another way to look at that too, right? Educate over selling. But and that's a message that we always preach to our agents, is we're not out here selling. We're out here to educate our clients. And yes, this field, and what we do, this industry, it is sales. And obviously there are some, some things that we're required to share with our clients, like we're getting paid to enroll them into the plan. But really the heart of it is we're out here to educate individuals and give them the information that they need to make a decision and answer any questions that they have. And when we're able to do that, yes, it's going to lead to a sale, but you don't want to be that salesy type of individual who's saying, well, this plan's got, it's got so much dental and it can offer you this and it can offer you that. It's like, that's not the way that you should be conducting business. What you need to do is be listening to what it is that they're saying to you, taking that information, processing it, and then figuring out how you want to go about and educating them on what their options that they have. Sorry, I just wanted to jump in and kind of share that piece.
Completely agree. I would say the last thing is peer accountability. And I always like, man, if there's an issue that I'm having, or if I think something might be in the gray area, I'm going to go to somebody who is who also kind of feels the same that I do about compliance and that really wants to be an ethical individual. And I'm going to go back and forth and I'm going to have some conversations with them and make sure that I'm doing things in the right way. Mm-hmm. You know, I always tell people, like, just keep your heart in the right, you know, in the right posture. Like, I'm going to do everything I can to do things in the right way. And usually doing it that way, you know that it's going to pay off. You know that you're not going to get caught up in things that you shouldn't. So I would absolutely do that. And then also, like, if you hear, you overhear a peer that is making some bad ethical decisions, I might address it with them. If they're very bad ethically, I would probably report that. Like, mm-hmm. I'm that nerd. So I would say that I would just throw it out to him. Hey man, you think that you should be doing that? Like the way that I understand this rule is that we're not supposed to be doing that. Like, hiring these cold callers out of, overseas cold callers, and they're telling me they're doing that. That's how I'm getting some sales. I probably would bring that up to them and be like, hey, look, are you sure that everything is kosher with that? Because the way that I understand it is that we're not supposed to be cold calling. I think you know that, right? You know, so I would throw that out there to them. I'm not the kind of, I would report someone. I've never actually reported someone. Because also I'm usually focused on what I'm doing. I'm not focusing on what others are doing. But I think that having some accountability always goes a long way. So, just to wrap it up, do you have any other thoughts on this? Anything that we might have missed and not touched on?
I think operating in an ethical manner is what's going to let you sleep at night. And I think that's super important. I feel the same way that you do. Is I'm able to sleep at night knowing that, you know, if something does happen, or if I do get an email from a carrier because they need more information on a particular enrollment, I'm happy to share it with them. And I'm happy to explain, you know, what it is that happened in that particular situation. Don't live in that gray area. Always do what's right for the individual. And that's going to lead to a sticky book, which is going to lead to referrals, which is going to lead to you having a successful career in this business.
And having lots of good nights of sleep. Oh, yeah. That's what I was talking about. So until next time, do us a favor. Follow us on YouTube. That's kind of one of the big pushes that I want to make right now. We've got a lot more listeners that listen on Apple, but we also put out a lot of good content that I think that helps individuals to be more successful. So do us a favor, follow us on YouTube as well. And so until next time, stay compliant.